How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. We had a little bit of a scheduling change yesterday. My last phone call last night was at 10:30. You know, when this portal stuff is going on, it gets nuts, man. You get talks about who's going in from Mississippi State, who's going in that State may have interest in. There's a lot of that happens. And so a lot of time on the phone yesterday, and I was originally planning to go down to Mobile yesterday and go see our Miss Al kids, and just kind of made the arbitrary decision, I'm the boss, so I can do that. And I said, you know what, I think my time is better served being at the desk. And so we spent the day on the message boards. I've got to get away a little while today, though. We've got a book signing at College Corner in Ridgeland from 2 to 4. So we'll get the show up, we'll get dressed and cleaned up, and we'll head down there, we'll sign some books, and we'll come back. We do have 5 official visitors that are wrapping up their visits today, so my staff will be on that. And, hopefully we can get some information for you of that as well. I think Landon Watson out of Marshall may be the most likely of that group to join the Bulldog team, but we'll see. You know, some other guys out there, I think they brought him in, and people were like, oh, this isn't a great list. And I agreed, it wasn't a great list, but we've got to go out and get 15 kids. So a lot of portal talk today. We'll talk a little basketball too. But I wanted to open the show today paying tribute to Mike Leach. You guys know Mike was my friend. And we're celebrating, I guess in some respects, the life of one Mike Leach for a little while today. And I'm pulling up the date to be sure. But, yeah, it's the 2-year anniversary of Mike's passing. And I would be remiss if we didn't spend a little time talking about Coach. We're not going to go back and look at certain things and, things we did wrong or anything like that. That's not what we're here to do today. But I do miss Coach, and I often think to myself that what's next, like when I think about that 2022 season, right? Mike went into that season and many of you were already out on Mike and on the air raid, and it's like, hey, it's not gonna work. We'd lost Dylan Johnson prior to that year, a fan favorite. And people were like, hey, I just don't know what to expect. And we end up going 8-4, we beat Ole Miss, we get the egg, we get the invitation to the ReliaQuest Bowl. It's like, hey, we've never been to the Outback Bowl before. This will be great. I guess we win against Iowa, but we'd never won that game. And we finished that year, obviously, 9-4 and ranked in the top 20. And a lot's changed in the last 2 years. I mean, how quickly have we fallen? And a lot of it's got to do with the fact we've had so much turnover. I mean, it's just it's a crazy situation. But the reality of it is I'm so incredibly grateful to have had a few years with Mike, and 3 years. And I remember the day that, I announced that he was going to get the job at Mississippi State, that our Washington State publisher reached out to me. And he said, Steve, you don't realize it yet. You're the luckiest guy in the country because you're going to get to cover Mike Leach, and you and Mike are going to be, you're going to be friends. He said, Mike's going to love hanging out with you and getting to know you. And I was like, there's no way. There's no way. Mike Leach. Well, that is exactly what transpired, and I remember some nights, like, he would call me. I remember the very one, we had to do an interview one day, and I think it was set for, like, 7 o'clock, And he pushed it back, and he's like, hey, I know you're a night owl like me. Can we do this, like, after 10 o'clock? He was trying to finish up some documentary he was watching or something with Sharon. And I think he ended up calling me, like, 10:30, maybe 11 o'clock at night. And we ended up talking about 2 in the morning. We got the interview done, and I'm ready to go. And he's like, well, hey, let me ask you about this. And for those people that think that Mike was, you know, kind of aloof, and not really keeping up with recruiting, you're kidding yourselves. Now, we can be critical of how the staff at times was arranged and maybe some decisions the staff made about recruiting. And ultimately, those decisions are Mike's. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He's the one that put people in place. But it was incredible where the conversation went. You know, and he was a fan of history, as you guys know. And he wanted to know about, you know, the rivalry. You know, he's like, you know, I know this game. This is back in 2020, you know. And he's like, I know the game, but he wanted to know some of the great moments in Mississippi State and Ole Miss history on both sides of it. You know, want to know about players and tradition and, you know, why the game became a big deal and that sort of stuff. And so we talked extensively about that stuff. And it was so incredible, you know, his ability to recall that. You know, like, I'd see him later, and he's like, hey, wasn't it like in 1926, you know, when they – decided to do the golden egg. Yeah, coach, it's right. Yeah, that's correct. Hey, guess what year was it when they had the funeral downtown in Jackson? You know, coach, that was 1905. And I miss my friend. And I think in many respects that the fallout of his passing has negatively impacted Mississippi State football. And, you know, I believe our administration did the best job they possibly could to try to navigate through an unprecedented circumstance. I mean, there's no book or manual out there to tell you, hey, here's what you do when your coach dies unexpectedly. I mean, it was just unprecedented. And you know, we had teams out there trying to poach our players and try to get them in the portal. And, you know, we had to act quickly. And, of course, we now have the gift of hindsight. You know, and people were saying, you know what, hey, we should have just done a full search. But you know, given the fact that we were a week from National Signing Day, we just weren't afforded that kind of time. And so I don't fault anybody in Lee Hall for making the decision that they felt it was best at the time for Mississippi State football. You know, a lot of people believed that Zach Arnett was going to be a head coach someday, and of course he got thrust into a position. And there are a lot of our people, too, that have been really critical of Zach Arnett. And some of that's, it warrants it. But, you know, Zach stepped up and took a job he didn't ask for. We went to him and said, hey, Zach, you're the interim coach. The players love you. And let's not forget how fragile everybody was at the time. They had seen their coach die. They didn't get a chance to tell him goodbye. You know, so they wanted some stability, some normalcy. And so we said, okay, we'll stick with Arnett. And then I think Zach made an incredibly poor decision. We're going to revamp the offense. Now, I often think, where would we be today if Kendall Briles had signed that contract? We had kind of come to terms with him. We sent him a contract. We're just waiting to get the contract back. He goes in to speak to Sam Pittman, let Sam know he's leaving. They do what's necessary to keep him there. And then he ultimately leaves anyway, which is more of a kick in the gut to us. You know, it's like, hey, really, it's not just about, hey, we love Fayetteville and Northwest Arkansas. At the end of the day, we didn't want to go to Mississippi State. And that sucks, man, because we love it here. We think everybody else would love it here, too. But, yeah, we made a bad decision. And, I've been told some things, you know, that there was a bit of a rivalry between the offensive and the defensive staff. You know, and so I think Zach had an opportunity to maybe settle some scores. I think in the end, the decision not to keep Mason Miller was probably a bad one. But, you know, we bring all these people in and think, hey, we're ready to go. And, of course, didn't make a lot of sense to me at the time. Makes even less sense now that when you have so many starters back on offense, you decide to scrap what they know and go do something completely different. And if you remember, you know, that signing day – in 2022, I asked Zach Arnett, you know, about getting away from the air raid. And he kind of looked at me like I was dumb. And he said, we're going to continue to run some of those same concepts. And we did not. And, you know, again, I think having to do it over again, I think, you know, Zach's an intelligent guy. And I think if you'd asked him in hindsight, he probably should have run it back. Maybe you make Steve Spurrier Jr. the OC. I don't know. But all but understood, Mike Leach, a great man, a great character in college football, and we're very fortunate to have had him for a short time with us. And we miss him. We do. I won't have time to write an article today unless I do it tonight, you know, kind of commemorating Mike Leach. But I remember the story I wrote, my friend the pirate that made the rounds. And if I can be honest with you, when I wrote that article, I already knew Mike wasn't going to make it. I wanted him to make it. You all wanted him to make it. Even if he didn't continue to be our coach, I wanted him to live. And I'd already heard some things that, you know, how long they coded him. And I had been told that even if he recovered, he wouldn't be the same. But I wanted him to live. And in many ways, I think Mike kind of left in a very Mike Leach way. You know, I don't think Mike would have wanted to have the old pomp and circumstance and have the final season announcement and, you know, take all the trips and things like that and get the old rocking chair and that kind of stuff. I just don't think that was Mike's style in any way. And so I think in many respects, he died as he lived. It was kind of on his own terms. I don't think he would have chosen, you know, to die so dramatically and not without the opportunity to say goodbye to the people he loved. But I don't know that retirement would have ever sat well with Mike Leach. I just think he was too active a person and his mind was too curious to ever actually just retire and roll out to Key West. You know, I don't think that's really the case. And we had talked about writing a book together, and that someday I will write a Mike Leach biography. Just want to give the family a chance, kind of some time to heal. And I've been told recently that Sharon is selling the house here in Starkville. And that saddens me. But you know what? She has to move along with life. You know, she does. And, you know, we wish them the best. We really do. And I'm so incredibly blessed to have had Mike Leach part of my life and part of Mississippi State history. I think it's one of those things you look back in hindsight and you're like, you know, I remember when that GIF made the rounds, the pirate ship and all that kind of stuff. And it was such great, great, great engagement by the people who were involved at that point at Mississippi State to announce his hiring. And that's one of those things I look back in hindsight. I remember that day. I remember where I was sitting. I remember everything when I saw the graphic roll along there. And I remember talking to John Cohen that morning. And he goes, Mississippi State people are going to be really excited. And we were. And a lot of it's not just because it was Mike Leach. You know, we went and took a sitting Power 5 football coach and convinced them to come to Mississippi State. And Mike was intrigued about the opportunity to have a chance to see if his offense worked in a Southeastern Conference, the modern-day Southeastern Conference. But it is what it is. And he is no longer with us, but I wanted to spend a few minutes today just kind of talking about him. And, you know, there's just so many things that he did around Starkville, especially during COVID, to help other people. And unlike some other people in our conference, you know, he didn't do it for the Instagram. You know, he didn't go do something kind for somebody else in hoping to politicize that or use it as a PR campaign. He did it because of who he is and who he was and what he believed. He was a lot more like us than people realized. God rest his soul. Mike Leach. All right, let's move ahead now. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I love Bulldog Burger Company. I plan to partake in some Bulldog Burger Company this weekend. I will have the spring rolls as my appetizer because of the fact all this time on the phone and at the desk kind of makes you a little bit peaked, so I got to step up my beauty care regimen a little bit because, you know, the spring rolls make you and everybody around you better looking. And, you know, I've been getting it to go a lot lately. And, like, when you guys come to town and say, hey, Steve, let's get together and eat, now let's go to Bulldog, you know. I like to put my feet under their table and let them take care of everything else. And that's what happens. I feel like I'm an honored guest there. There's some places you go, you're treated like a customer. I feel like a guest at Bulldog Burger Company. Love to go sit in that booth, get across from a friend, a family member, and just enjoy being together and just kind of soak in the atmosphere and the high-quality service and the great menu that's available to you at Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. If you're looking for an adult beverage, you can find one there too. You know, they have a full-service bar. I tell you what's interesting. You know, my son, Ian, he works at Bulldog Burger Company. And when his older brother and sister-in-law were in town, they went to go eat at Bulldog so they could spend some time with Ian during the Egg Bowl. And there is a beer on the menu called Little Peach Wheat. Well, that is now Ian's name in Ani's phone. He now calls him Little Peach Wheat. And so now it's kind of become a thing within the family. So I thought we'd give a shout out to Little Peach Wheat on the show today. Be sure and check him out next time you're in town or on the way to town. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, maybe you've heard, and maybe with all the portal stuff happening that maybe you've missed it, but last night, the SEC revealed the 2025 football schedule. So that's now out there for us. Let's spend a little time talking about this today, and then we're going to get into some portal stuff. The state also picked up a couple commitments yesterday, so we'll talk about that. But nevertheless, here is your schedule. We open up August 30th on the road at Southern Miss. I don't have an objection to playing Southern Miss. I know many of you do. Those of you that grew up in the 70s and 80s like I did understand this used to be, you know, a tougher game than it needed to be. That's back when they called it the Big Three. You know, well, the Big Three quickly became the Big Two when the SEC expanded and, of course, signed a very lucrative TV deal with ESPN. And Southern Miss pretty much left them in the dust in that respect. But and one of the reasons that I don't like playing down there is because of all of you, right? It's so difficult to get tickets to this game. And they have played some games in the past. Like you couldn't buy the Mississippi State game without buying season tickets. And then you are making a donation to the Golden Eagle Club or whatever, you know. And so I don't like the way that our fans are treated when they just want to go support their team. You know, we were down there in 15, and it was tough, man. And I don't mean in the game itself, but we had some fans that didn't have a good time down there. And I know Southern Miss's side of it is like, hey, this is, you know, it's a huge game for us. We'll have our fans turn out. We'll have a bunch of Mississippi State people here, and we'll get a donation from them in order to get those tickets. But, yeah, it was different. Like, I'd forgotten, you know, what it was like to go into a hostile M.M. Roberts Stadium, as hostile as it can be. But it's not a great deal. I don't mind playing them. I just want to play them in Starkville. And that's the thing, too. They used to have the anytime, anywhere, whoever. Well, you know, we have gone down there and played those guys really well. But I just think about how inconvenient it can be for our fans to get tickets down there. And that's something that's got to be resolved. And it's the same thing for baseball and everything else. I've said before, and listen, I have so much respect for Southern Miss baseball. But if they're going to host a regional, it needs to be in Biloxi or in Pearl. You know, that's how I see it. I don't know how you feel about it. But nevertheless, State leads the series with Southern Miss 16-14-1, and that does include a couple of forfeits due to the Larry Gillard situation. You know, they didn't beat us on the field. State has won six in a row against them dating back to 1989, and we beat Brett Favre and Southern Miss the week after they played Florida State. Joe Logan's shining moment, Eric Underwood's Heisman campaign began that night, and that's an inside joke for you Bulldogs that were alive back then. But, the most points that Southern Miss has scored in the series since 89, came in that game, 23 points, and it was a thriller of a game. We miss an extra point and then kick a field goal to win it 26-23. The great Eddie Miles with a pick late in that game that was very, very significant. In 90, we came up here and played, and we beat them 13-10. Back-to-back years, we beat them on a field goal. We didn't play again for 24 years. And then those games have largely not been competitive. Other than the one in 23, it was a very competitive game, and State put it away late, 41-20. That's the Greg Knox go heavy game, right? And they bring in Inky, and Inky tells everybody about, you know, going heavy and stuff. And Greg really wanted to win those final two games, beat Southern Miss and Ole Miss, and get to a bowl game. And he was absolutely emotional after the game was over against Ole Miss. And
how do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
The reality of it is we weren't going to be able to play in a bowl game. But nevertheless, Southern Miss is your opener. Arizona State will make the return trip to Mississippi State on September 6th. They'll be a much different looking team when we see them. They're having some portal attrition as well, you know, and then they're in the playoff now too, right? And so you start thinking about that aspect of it. I mean, Kenny Dillingham is a great coach, but they were kind of built for this year. Got a ton of transfers, so we'll see what it looks like, you know, coming back here. I know we look back and say, you know, it's a game we probably should have won, but that when we're honest with ourselves, that they could have scored late and put that game away. I give us a lot of credit for fighting back in the second half, but the edge comes off when you have a three-score lead. That's the reality of it. But, you know, what's interesting, too, and I think I touched on this earlier in the week, but if I didn't, allow me now. You know, we talked extensively, you know, about, hey, if the SEC goes to a nine-game schedule, the Power Five mandate goes away. And that's what I think the casual fan doesn't understand. It's not the game against East Tennessee State that gets eliminated. The FCS game will continue. The Power Five mandate is what goes away. Like, well, I'm tired of watching us, you know, play, you know, Xavier Telegraph Tech. Well, that, we're still going to play them. And so is everybody else. Alabama's still going to play Samford. So you're not gaining anything in that respect. All you're doing is kind of raising the hurdles. And I think when you look around too, you know, what happened with the selections for the playoff committee, you don't really gain anything by adding the ninth conference game. You gain nothing from it, really. That's what the committee has told us. There's no point in going and scheduling very difficult non-conference games. It's not important. But Arizona State will come in here. And then the next week we'll get Alcorn State. You know, when we talk about, you know, those games aren't going to go away. You may want them to go away, but they're not going to go away. And if we're going to play an FCS team, I like to play a Mississippi team. So four non-conference games to open the slate, which I think is a good thing. And that's kind of how Ole Miss golf had a good start last year too. But Northern Illinois comes to Mississippi State next year. Do you know much about those guys? I don't know that you do. The Huskies have never, ever played Mississippi State in football. So it's a first-time opponent for us. That's a good thing. The only brand-new opponent that we'll have next year are the Huskies. And so you look at this right here today, okay, and let's not think about what, you know, don't let the 2024 angst, you know, temper our feelings here. You know, we should be 3-1 after these four games. And you never know what happens with Arizona State. We don't even know what the rosters are going to look like. And, of course, the Southern Miss game has a little more intrigue. And out at Charles Huff, former Mississippi State assistant Charles Huff is the head coach there. So, four non-conference games to open. And then, basically, everything else flips. But the dates are different. So, we'll have Tennessee coming in here September 27th. We haven't played those guys a ton in the last several years. We played them, I knew the Joe Moorhead thing was over when we lost in 19 up there. But that Tennessee team was absolutely struggling. But, the last time that they came to Starkville was 2012. And your Bulldogs, led by Tyler Russell and Chad Bumpus, and, of course, Malcolm Johnson with that great touchdown catch, the back of the end zone, put that game away. And State wins 41-31. And that was our first win against Tennessee since 1994 when Kendall Watkins with the big play to put that game away. But, we haven't played them that frequently. We played them 47 times, and we're both charter members of the Southeastern Conference. So the last time that they came to Starkville, we win. But that's a lifetime ago, right? I mean, that'll be 13 years almost to the day that that we've played those guys, and so it's interesting how life works there. I guess maybe 2 weeks difference, my mistake. But two game winning streak for the Vols. We blow that game in 19, and then times played decent against Tennessee. The defense was legit, and there's a reason they're in the playoff. So that's gonna be a tough one, and then you got to go to A&M. Now that. I'm not sure what to make of A&M, and I didn't in the preseason this year. And again, we don't know what the rosters are going to look like. We know Connor Wegman is on the move. Not exactly sure what their quarterback situation is going to look like. And to be fair, I'm not exactly sure what ours are going to look like. But the series is tied 9-9. A&M has won the last two games. Of course, that one that we lost down there in 22 was one of the most embarrassing games that I have ever witnessed. Third team quarterback absolutely destroys us, and because we were too stubborn to listen to the inside information, and we thought Johnson's going to play, so we prepare for Johnson. Absolutely inexcusable mistake. Makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. But when you think you know more than other people, and sometimes that happens with highly intelligent people, they begin to think, well, I know more than you, so I'll just ride with what I know, and then you rode right on out of town. So we'll see. Got to go to A&M. It's tough to win in Kyle Field. We've done that, though. We have gone down there and won before. It's going to be a different team, as you guys are well aware. Our first open date comes October the 11th. I think it's a good time because it's in between trips to Kyle Field and in the Swamp. And last time we played in the Swamp, of course, back in 2010. Lots changed since then. It's so difficult to think about how fast time flies. When you just go from one thing to the next. So the series, all-time series, is 35-19-2 in favor of Florida. The Gators have won two in a row. Of course, 45-28 win in Starkville this year. And then in 18, they get us 13-6. That's a Dan Mullen versus Joe Moorhead game. We had lost the week before to Kentucky, and people are like, this is forgiven, just beat Dan. And then we didn't. And, of course, Dan beat Florida back in 10. And pretty significant, to say the least, to win that game down there. So the last time we go to Gainesville, we won in the Swamp. Urban Meyer, Dan Mullen, head-to-head in the Swamp, and we win that game. And the score, pretty crazy. They missed that field goal late because their kicker got hurt. They had to have the punter attempt a field goal, and it wasn't close. Chris White with an amazing game for Mississippi State. So you don't know what Florida's going to look like. Billy Napier was under the gun this year and got up off the mat, turned things around, and then Scott Strickland looks like a genius right now. Everybody wanted to fire him and Napier and everybody connected to them, and then Florida down the stretch was really good. Really good. All right, Texas. October 25th, Texas will come to Mississippi State. You guys know, like, we're going to play him in baseball in this year, in or next year, this coming season. We're going to play him in Duty Noble Field for the first time in like 100 years. The series with the Longhorns is 3-2 in favor of the Longhorns because they win the game this year. And we went down there and played decently, but at the end of the day, we lost by 22 points. The last time that Texas came to Mississippi State, they lost. The only time in their history they played Mississippi State in 1991. State wins that game 13-6. Your players of today were not alive back then. But it'll be interesting to have the Longhorns here. And I'm sure it'll be Arch Manning running the show. You know, so you know that offensively they should be very good. And Texas out there running up some big money in the portal. All right, November the 1st, we're going to go to Arkansas. Now, we have had some success against Arkansas. This year kind of was standing. This year, they absolutely came in here and punched us in the mouth. It's crazy. Arkansas leads the series 19-15. You know, Dan Mullen made this series a lot more interesting, you know, when he was here. You know, State wins, you know, goodness, was it 8 out of 9? Yeah, 7 out of 8. We won 7 out of 8 from 2012 to 2019. The Razorbacks get us in 20. That's a game where Barry Odom had, you know, decided to do drop 8 against Mike Leach, and KJ Costello absolutely could not read the scheme. In 21, we missed 3 field goals and lose the game up there. In 2022, we blast Arkansas here, and then we go up there and beat them at their place in the Mike Wright 7-3 game. And then they beat us 58-25, you know, and they were ready to go. I mean, give them all the credit in the world. That's the most decisive loss State has this year to a team that was fairly mediocre. But we got to go up there, and again, we've had some success in Fayetteville, so I don't think we'll be intimidated to go up there. But it'll be interesting to see how much Jeff Lebby remembers, you know, what happened, you know. So, let's see here. November 8th, it seems like we play Georgia all the time. They'll come here. You know, we went forever and a day without playing Georgia, and it's now like the SEC is like, hey, I know you guys missed each other. I'll be honest with you, I didn't really miss them. Georgia leads the series 21-6. Last win, of course, for Mississippi State was in Starkville in 2010. Chris Ralph to Arcedo Clark to put that thing away. Nico Whitley with the big hit of Washana Ely at the goal line to kind of get things going. Georgia's won all 5 since then, and 4 of those 5 have been in Athens. And again, we went forever and a day without playing. Like, we play them in 97, didn't play them again to 05. Then they kind of rotate back around. But we played them 17, 20, 22, and 24. So we're seeing Georgia with much greater regularity. And, of course, they come back on our schedule when they are one of the better teams in the country. So we'll host them here. It'll be interesting to see how things go. You know, Georgia's going to be good, as long as Kirby's there. You might as well get ready for that. That's just how it's going to be. I wonder how Kirby's comments went. You know, the ones about Greg Sankey. You know, standing on the floor of the Mercedes-Benz Georgia Dome, whatever, and Greg Sankey standing right there, and you say, hey, thanks to Greg Sankey and his people, we were on the road the whole year. You know, you got to wonder, you know, how that went over in Birmingham. I suspect not very well. And it's not a good look for the league. The SEC championship coach taking shots at the league. And sometimes those are warranted. All right, November 15th, we got to go up to Como. Probably going to see Kevin Coleman up there and play against him. Head to Missouri on November 15th. That's our first trip to Missouri since the 2015 season, if memory serves me correct. And we'll double-check our work here. And I'll tell you what, sometimes this stuff gets so silly. And that is correct. It'll be our first trip in 10 years to Columbia. Yeah, we couldn't play Missouri, but we can play Georgia all the time. But yeah, we beat Mizzou in 20, and then they beat us, of course, this year 39-20. And Eli Drinkwitz is, you know, out there when they're trying to run the clock out, running his head, saying, hey, shut up or we're going to score again. I'm eager to see what that team looks like, the Missouri team. You know, without Brady Cook, without Luther Burden, we'll see what they look like. But Drinkwitz is an offensive guy. they'll always be able to score points, I think. So we'll see how that goes. And then our second open date comes before the battle for the Golden Egg in Starkville. So I like that. You know, and then what's funny too is we get the open date and then don't get the short week, right? You know, you played Thursday, you played Friday, and you know, and then you didn't get the open date. You know, so it's interesting. They give us the open date and then give us a full week. That game's scheduled for a Saturday. Now, does that mean it moves? It could. They could move it to Thanksgiving. They could move it to Friday. But I'm okay with that, with the open date coming in front of it. I think that's an important aspect of that too. You know, that's just how life works sometimes, you know. It's so interesting. You know, we had a couple years ago, we had the FCS game scheduled, and they had Arkansas scheduled, you know. That's and to be fair, you know, I mean, like, I don't ever want Ole Miss to do good at anything, but the reality of it is that wouldn't be fair for us to have the open date and them not have the open date, to have to play, you know. That just, you know, that wouldn't work well with the Iron Bowl participants. And so Ole Miss gets the open date just like we do. It's the right thing. I'd love for them to have to play like, you know, Alabama. But no, everybody's getting the open date, and that's fine. So, kind of recapping here. Your road games at Southern Miss, which I'm opposed to that. That's the only non-conference game on the road, as it should be. I don't think we should ever play non-conference games on the road outside of the Power 5 mandate, but that's just my opinion. And then we're at Texas A&M, at Florida, at Arkansas, at Missouri. So you're 4-4, four home games in the SEC schedule and four road games. And those are your four road games. And you know, you look at that, A&M, tough environment to play. Florida, tough environment to play. But you get Arkansas and Missouri. And again, we've had success in Arkansas. We've had success in Como. We just haven't played up there much. But I don't think it's one of those things. It's a couple of toss-up games, you know. You never know what everybody's going to look like by the time you get there. But your home games: Arizona State, Alcorn State, Northern Illinois, and Tennessee. So you got a four-game homestand after the Southern Miss game, and so you start thinking, okay, brand new coach, first year, you know, scheme, whatever. We'll see what that team looks like. We should go down there and win that game, and then you got a four-game homestand before you have to head out to Texas A&M. So. And again, after Tennessee, home games, Texas, Georgia, Ole Miss. And I'm eager to see what that Ole Miss roster looks like here in a few weeks. You know, they're going to spend a bunch of money in the portal too. But that's kind of how things look right now as we look ahead to our 2025 football schedule. All right, time for today's Top 10 is always brought to you by closewithblair.com, C-L-O-S-E with Blair. B-L-A-I-R. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. If you don't know it by now, his phone number, 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. When you become an adult, there are a lot of things you don't know. They don't really kind of condition you for that. One of the things that you'll learn is that you're going to need a great mortgage loan originator. If you want to be a homeowner, you need somebody with the know-how of Blair Chandler. 24 years of experience in the industry, and nobody stays in any industry for 20 plus years by accident. That's why Close with Blair is where you need to go for all your information. That phone number goes directly to him. You can call or text today. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair can devise a plan to get you in there. And if you're a first-time home buyer, or maybe your circumstances have changed, you need to consider getting a pre-qualification letter. That way you're not shopping above your means, right? It doesn't matter how nice the house is if you're struggling to afford it. So make sure you buy something within your means. Blair can help you with that. And for new people, you know, that little, you know, starter house is probably the way to go. You know, you'll be amazed at what it feels like to invest in your own future by building equity in your home rather than throwing your money away renting a place. Let Blair Chandler help you become a homeowner today at closewithblair.com. Okay, top 10. I'm surprised we haven't done this band. I thought maybe we had. But they were wildly popular in England for years, and then finally kind of broke through in the United States. They were huge across the pond. It took some time. We're talking about the band Squeeze. You say, Steve, Squeeze? Yes, Squeeze. And there's going to be a lot of songs on here that you know that maybe you didn't attribute to Squeeze. Of course, the number one is a very obvious track. Number 10, great track called If It's Love. It's kind of got a little bit of that British new wave beat to it. They were interesting, this band. You know, they had a lot of different stylings, I guess you could say, is the way to put that. You know, they weren't a band that you looked at and say, hey, they were consistent. Like, you put on Led Zeppelin, you know you're hearing Led Zeppelin. Like, you put on Guns N' Roses, with rare exception, you know you're listening to Guns N' Roses, right? There were times Squeeze kind of experimented with the sound a little bit. And so they had some things that were a little bit new wave. And then as they matured as artists, they kind of had a more of a commercial sound. Number 9, a great track, Annie Get Your Gun. Probably one you don't know as well as some of these others, but one I think you'll have fun with. Number 8, Another Nail in My Heart. And the song itself is indicative of the title. You know, how many times have we all dealt with that, right? There's always something out there. There's always something else. There's always some misery lurking around the corner. It's really how we deal with it in life. At some point, we're all going to be disappointed. We're all going to be betrayed. And many of us don't even know it until it's too late. That's how life works. You got to give people room to be human, but don't let people run over you. Don't be a doormat for anybody. Number 7, a song you probably know that I don't like quite as much as some of the others, but it's Pulling Muscles from the Shell. You've heard it a million times. You put it on, you're like, I know this. Of course you do. Pulling Muscles from the Shell, that's your number 7 track. Number 6, Up in the Junction, that's one we could use. Maybe we should elevate our esteem of our beloved tailgate place, Up in the Junction, number 6. Number 5, a song that many of you know if you are a rock band video game aficionado, you know the song. And that's one of the reasons that I kind of elevated it up. It's not one of my favorites, even though it was a hit for them. It's Cool for Cats, number 5, Cool for Cats. Now that can be interpreted a number of different ways, but there you go. Number 4, Label with Love. I'm not a big fan of labels. You know, my generation, we fought against labels. And now, today, everybody labels themselves. You know, we just wanted to be people. You know, in Generation X, that's what it was. We just wanted everybody to be kind of treated and viewed the same. And nowadays, you know, this new generation, you know, that's the first thing they do when they introduce yourself is they give you all their labels. I go back to Metallica. You know, you label me, I label you. I dub the Unforgiven, you know. That's how I feel about it. Not big on labels. I don't really care about your DNA. I just care about how you treat me. That's just me. You know, I think when you go out there and do good things in the world, that's kind of the currency for me is, you know, kind of good and bad, you know, good and evil, right? That's how I evaluate people, how they act and how they treat me. Number 3, Black Coffee in Bed. That was a hit here in the States. Great track, kind of a relationship song, as you could imagine. Number 2, kind of a big triumphant return for Squeeze, and kind of their second incantation of themselves, and this song also kind of got into the consciousness of the United States because it was in heavy rotation on MTV. And a lot of people were like, hey, Squeeze is back. And other people were like, who is Squeeze? Yeah, some people are saying that now. But it's the track Hourglass. And in the chorus, they say, you know, take it to the bridge, throw it overboard, see if it can swim back into the shore. And that's what we remember. You don't remember the song is called Hourglass. You just remember that silly little lyric there. But number 1, a song that brought them tremendous commercial success. I can only begin to imagine the royalties that they continue to receive from this track, because it seems like it is part of the American commercial culture. It seems like every time I turn around, there's a commercial out there that's got this song as a soundtrack, and it's tempted by the fruit of another. Yeah, a song about cheating. That's what it's about. But the reality of it is that this is one of those songs that this the delivery of the song in and of itself, even if you don't subscribe to the lyrical content, you can appreciate the composition of the song. Great, great guitar pack here. I mean, it's like when you go and you see these guys play this song live, you begin to realize, hey, these guys are a lot more talented maybe than I realized. And sometimes it's all about the song, right? It's not necessarily, you know, just about talent. There are a lot of very talented players and singers out there that can't write music. But this is one of those songs that they absolutely nailed the delivery of. Absolutely. That's why it's number one. And everybody in the world, I suspect, has heard this song, at least all the English-speaking countries out there. An incredible song that, you know, a lot of people don't know who sings the song, but you're familiar with the song because, again, it's been so ingrained in marketing over the years. So that's your top 10 list. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. We're happy to do them. It's best way to do it is to hit up Roy on Twitter. And you can find him at Dogmatic67. And, of course, he also puts our great list on Spotify under the same handle, DAWGMATIC67. And sometimes we kind of bulk up these lists and distribute them all in once. Roy's a busy guy these days. Looking forward to when Roy retires and moves to Starkville. Looking forward to that. I know that's the dream, right, Roy? But, yeah, we've done a lot of these. And I've already got one lined up for Friday that we'll share with you guys too, that it's going to be some classic rock riffs. It's going to be some songs you know to celebrate an artist that maybe hadn't gotten his just due. Our next segment of show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Campus Bookmart has been there when you've needed them, and you've got 13 days until Christmas, so 12 shopping days, Mom. I don't mean to make you panic, but with the late Thanksgiving, sometimes you've let it sneak up on you. You talk about looking forward to this time of year all year. Make your shopping simple. Just go to Campus Bookmart and get all the Bulldogs in your life some new Mississippi State gear. If you can't make it to town, but you'd love to support a Starkville business, and we're always in favor of that, you can visit them at campusbookmart.net. Don't go to Amazon. Go to campusbookmart.net. They know what real maroon looks like. You don't want your kids rolling around in Mississippi State shirts that are made, in the Far East somewhere, and they show up and it's not officially licensed material. So campusbookmart.net, we'll give you some incentive to shop there. We'll give you a promo code to get you free shipping on all orders over $75, and that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. If you don't order at least $75, you're doing yourself a disservice. Simple as that. Because no order less than $75 is complete. Buy yourself something while you're there. I can promise you nothing's going to make Dad happier than some Mississippi State gear. And if you've been thinking about buying some books, you can buy books from them too and get the free shipping as well. How about that? Yeah. They carry all seven of my books. It's weird to say, but all seven of my books available at Campus Bookmart. So while you're buying those new M over S hoodies and that Mississippi State basketball attire, get caught up on your Steve Robertson book collection at Campus Bookmart. All right, let's talk some portal stuff. Obviously, the big news, Kevin Coleman goes into portal. To me, this is the most significant loss. He's a guy that played 729 snaps this year. He had 1,607 snaps in his career, and nearly half of them were at Mississippi State. His production year over year from Louisville to Mississippi State tripled. He thrived here at Mississippi State. And obviously when you think about the possibilities of what we have coming in this year, that's a loss. And from my conversations last night into this morning, I do expect Kevin Coleman to land at Missouri. I know some people are saying, hey, he's probably going to take some visits. But traded some text messages with Gabe DeArmond, who runs Power Mizzou, the Mississippi State affiliate from Missouri, and their thinking is much like ours, that they believe that he will be a Missouri Tiger sooner rather than later. He's expected there tomorrow, from what I understand, to visit with the staff and talk about things going forward. You know, originally Kevin's from St. Louis, Missouri. Missouri tried very hard to get him out of high school, but it was kind of an either-or deal with Luther Burden. They're not real fans of each other. Luther's going to go pro. And not to mention, Kevin Coleman had better production than anybody in Missouri last year. And they don't even know who their quarterback's going to be. And at the end of the day, I want Mississippi State fans to understand Mississippi State did everything they could within reason to keep Kevin Coleman here. There's still an outside chance that he returns, though I'm not expecting that. But Mississippi State offered him and his family everything they wanted to keep him here. But one of the things we can't do is bring him home. And that's kind of where we are. So, yes, very significant loss. Anybody trying to glaze over that is just kind of kidding themselves. That is a significant loss for Mississippi State, and I believe the biggest loss so far. We have not had a wide receiver as explosive as Kevin Coleman, I think, since Eric Moulds. And that's not, you know, being poor old State. That's how I see it. That's how significant it is. But I'm going to have an article later today with snap counts of everybody that's gone into the portal. Some of those numbers, I think, are going to surprise you for sure. So let me get you up to date here. We'll go alphabetically. Here is who has gone in the portal. There are actually 26, only 25 scholarship players. Jacoby Albert, safety, offensive line, Leon Bell, linebacker, Ty Cooper. Ty played a lot of snaps for us this year, too. Of course, wide receiver, Kevin Coleman, wide receiver, Mario Craver, linebacker, Javay Gilmore, wide receiver, Antonio Harmon, wide receiver, J.J. Harrell. And I hate that one, too, because I think J.J.'s got a bright future. Linebacker, Tobias Hinton. Radar Jones, a corner, transferred in from LSU. Safety, Chris Keys. Running back, Kevon Lee. Linebacker, John Lewis. Walk-on tight end, Rayfield Lawton. Defensive tackle, Gabe Moore. You know, he didn't play this year. Had some medical issues not related to football that precluded him from playing this year. We wish him the best. Wide receiver, Trent Hudson. Quarterback, Chris Parson. Running back, Jeffrey Pittman. Cornerback, Bryce Pollock. The most significant loss on defense, in my estimation. Offensive line, McKaylin Pounders. Cornerback, Kamari Rogers. Linebacker, Marcus Ross, who was a late signee last year. Offensive lineman, Amari Smith. Defensive lineman, Eric Taylor. Quarterback, Michael Van Buren. Wide receiver, Creed Whittemore. Now, State has picked up a couple commitments from the portal. We have three total. You know, Javen Williams committed during his official visit. Couple weeks ago, I guess. But yesterday, you pick up Jerron Manning, a safety from Old Dominion, also originally a product of Brother Martin High School there in New Orleans. Went to Colin, had a really good experience there, parlayed that into a scholarship opportunity at Old Dominion. And kind of, you know, looking at his numbers here, I don't know that you guys fully appreciate this, but So when he was at Colin, he was a first-team All-American and named the defensive most valuable player for the Wolfpack in 2023. Had 71 tackles in 12 games, had three picks, forced fumble, and went to the state championship game. This past year, he was named third-team All-Sun Belt Conference. Started all 11 games this year, had 85 tackles, three pass breakups, 5.5 tackles for loss. Four double-digit tackle games, that's pretty significant. Had seven tackles against South Carolina. You know, so that's playing against Southeastern Conference competition. Had 11 tackles in a TFL against Virginia Tech, another Power 4 opponent. Seven tackles against Coastal Carolina. But, yeah, pretty significant player here. Listed at 5'10", 185 pounds. He will be a high safety for us. We need some guys that can track the football. He certainly can. I like what we've seen from him. I think at this point, he is the best portal commitment so far that Mississippi State has. Now, State also picks up Red Hibbler. You may remember Red Hibbler, a guy that you know, grew up just down the road in Louisville, Mississippi. Another guy that... kind of a JUCO success story. Played at Northwest Mississippi Community College. Had a great run there. Had the COVID year, so he ended up playing 3 years there. They didn't count against him. Had 73 tackles in JUCO, 24 for loss and 9 sacks. His final year there, 41 tackles, including 16.5 TFLs and 9 sacks, forced a pair of fumbles. this past year, didn't play quite as much because he basically took the Creed Whitmore and Trent Hudson route and elected to redshirt. But in 2023, he led North Carolina State with 6.5 sacks, which was ninth in the Atlantic Coast Conference. He is a pass rushing specialist. And what's interesting, too, you need some guys that can chase a quarterback. That's what he can do for us. Our pass rush this year was absolutely abysmal. Everybody knows that it's terrible. And, you know, you begin to think about, you know, kind of what's next, you know. But, you know, he's a piece. Is he a difference maker? I think not. But he is a guy on third down that I think that you'll be glad to have out there on the field. Now, Mississippi State's got five visitors that are wrapping up their official visits today. And let me detail those for you here real quickly. I don't think you see a lot of these guys pushed to commit to Mississippi State. I don't think that's the case. You know, we'll see how things go. The guy that I think most likely to be a priority is Landon Watson, a redshirt junior out of Marshall. He's wrapping up his visit today. He is a guy that's picked up several offers since entering the portal. You know, pretty much the entire team at Marshall entered the portal. Many of them will head to Southern Miss. Others will head somewhere else. I think Landon Watson probably boils down to Kentucky and Mississippi State. With our recent run of attrition in the portal at linebacker, I think he's a priority. Another guy to watch, Travion Barnes out of Florida International. Listed at 6 foot, I'm told he's a little bit shorter than that. A native of Apopka, Florida. You know, we'll see how things play out for him. Edge Chris Murray is another guy that might not be quite as big as listed at 6'4", 255. I'm having to answer my staff here. But nevertheless, that's a guy too. Originally signed with TCU, ended up at Sam Houston State. He will end up in the Power Four when it's all said and done. Number four, Malik Charles. Junior college guy, went to Northern Arizona, landed at West Georgia where Tevez Calhoun is there. And perhaps maybe Tevez can talk a little bit about his experience with he and the family. He's a guy 6'5", 255, probably a true five tech. And then there is Nevaeh Sanders of Northern Illinois, listed at 6'4", 220. I think that might be a bit generous. You know, and again, you start thinking about you need some guys to chase the passer. You know, we'll see. But I don't think you see a lot of commitments today. I think Watson may be the most likely, but I've learned to never rule out anything when it comes to the portal, ever. State also expected to host a couple of guys today as well. And if you're a member of jeanspage.com, you knew about this yesterday. And we do our best to kind of stay on top of things. You know, things are moving very, 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 very quickly in the portal. And it's interesting. You know, State has three verbal commitments, and I guess they've all actually signed their FAA. Three commitments, which actually leads the country. Now, that won't last, obviously. But I've read some people saying, hey, I don't understand why we didn't get out to a better start. Well, we're leading the nation in commitments. Now, you can say what you want to, of course, and people will pick that apart, you know, and say, hey, you know, well, Steve, you know, nobody wanted these kids, which isn't true either. But I just think the record should reflect the truth. But linebacker Jalen Smith, he was one of the most highly recruited linebacker prospects out of the 2023 class from Loganville, Georgia, is expected to visit today. And then Jerron Glover, wide receiver out of Michigan State, a native of Sarasota, Florida, product of Riverview High School, also expected. He was banged up this year, didn't play a whole lot, looking for a reset. So then tomorrow we're expecting several names on Friday. Several names on Friday, including some names you know. A lot of discussion about Jackson Arnold being at Auburn today and Mississippi State tomorrow. And so I'm optimistic about Jackson Arnold, but I'm not certain about Jackson Arnold. And I believe I'm well-sourced on the topic. I have talked to several people on both sides of this. I've talked to some people at Auburn. I've talked to some people that cover Oklahoma to try to get a consensus opinion. And Auburn is expected to take two quarterbacks in the portal, and that could be a factor too, right? That could be a factor. You know, we're looking to take one. Of course, Blake Shapen announces his return to Mississippi State. And it's interesting. You know, when he went down against Florida, we didn't expect any issue getting the waiver. We won't have one. You know, he's got another year, so he'll be back. But if you can improve your talent level, you have to, right? This isn't the Boy Scouts. It's a Southeastern Conference. You go get Jackson Arnold, who was a 99 prospect out of the country and considered by many the top quarterback in the portal. You've got a pre-existing relationship with him. Jeff Lebby courted him to Oklahoma. There is some trust there. And so you hope that you're able to swing him and add him to the Mississippi State roster. Now, here's my opinion of all of this. If you get Jackson Arnold, you're going to get other receivers. And there are some things, obviously, that we can't make public right now. There's a couple other guys out there that are kind of keeping an eye on the Jackson Arnold situation that would love to play with him. So Arnold, if he comes to Mississippi State, would bring some players with him on the offensive side of the football. There's a wide receiver or two. But, you know, you lose Kevin Coleman, you think, how do we replace that production? Well, I don't know if you can do it with one guy. You know, you've got to go out and get multiple guys. But I'm told there are a couple receivers that are going to come anyway, even if Jackson Arnold doesn't, because of the fact that they want to play in this system. They see what we did for Kevin Coleman and the production increase that he had. And so you're like, hey, I want to go catch, you know, 50 balls. I want to be a 1,000-yard receiver. You know, I want to go do some big things. And so I know it feels very negative right now, and I did my best to prepare you all for some of this, even though there's been a couple surprises for me. I didn't think Bryce Pollock would go in, and certainly didn't think Kevin Coleman would go in. Everybody else has pretty much gone the script. I know some of you are upset about the Mario Craver thing, but I can tell you, and there's some things that I won't make public, but it was good for both parties, you know, for him to move on. And, you know, that's just kind of the reality of life sometimes. Again, the Kevin Coleman thing, I see it in a much different light. A more proven player, a guy that I think if Jackson Arnold comes, I think he benefits from having Jackson Arnold here, because I don't know that Missouri will have the same caliber of quarterback. But, you know, Drinkwitz is a guy, too, that, you know, runs a pretty good scheme up there, as you guys have seen. But the reality of it is we can't sit around and cry about Kevin Coleman. Now, you and I can, you know, we can kind of relent the fact, but your staff can ill afford to just kind of sit back and say, hey, woe is us. They got to go find playmakers. It's already December the 12th. It'll spring semester be here before you know it. And so guys are going to start making decisions. And, of course, there are other players out there that aren't in the portal yet that will be in the portal later. Now, we can't bank on that. But there are going to be a lot of options that materialize here in the next couple of weeks that aren't available today. That's important to understand. And so you can't be too aggressive and then fill up your portal slots with guys that aren't better than what you're bringing back or what you're running off. We've got to upgrade the talent, not just change out the talent. That's the important aspect of this. You know, you already, the fans in many respects are already upset that we didn't make a defensive coordinator change. And so if you want to give him a fighting chance, you got to definitely upgrade your talent. And listen, there's going to be some guys out there going to be like, you know, I didn't like what I saw last year defensively for Mississippi State. So, no, I've only got 1 year of eligibility left. I'm not going to go chase a dream there in Starkville. I'm going to go somewhere else. And don't ever, ever, ever underestimate the impact of being 2-10. We're dealing with some of that, too. You know, in talking to people close to Kevin Coleman, you know, it's not just the old idea of going home, even though that's the most significant part of it. He wants to win games. And one of the things that I've heard from talking to people closely connected to a couple of players that have left is they felt like there were some guys here that weren't as committed as they were to win games. And that's the real challenge for Jeff Lebby and his staff. You've got to have everybody here that wants to win games. Now, one of the things I'll tell you, too, even among those that left, the locker room, for the most part, was good. You know, guys were still bought in and fighting hard. They expected to beat Ole Miss when they turned out that Friday afternoon in Oxford. From the moment they got off the bus, they expected to win that game. There was nobody dogging it. It was nobody sitting out there saying, hey, we got nothing to play for. They went out there and gave their best effort, and I thought that was reflective in the score. And again, I go back to the fact defense didn't cost us the Egg Bowl. The offense did. 14-10 with the football twice and a chance to make it a two-score game. And you can only begin to imagine how the emotions of that game could have changed if State was able to do that. But we weren't. And so somebody asked me some time ago on the message board, I said, who do you think's our quarterback next year? I said, Blake Chapin. And you're like, oh, not Van Buren? I said, I think there's a possibility of Mike Leaves. And, you know, we've had this discussion. A friend of mine, Spence, brought this up the other day when we were having, when Michael Van Buren went in the portal in my little group text. He goes, hey, you know, Steve told me back on December 1st he expected Parson and Van Buren to leave. And the reason that I say that, and I felt that then, is I think Mike got enough of a taste this year. It's like, hey, I can do this. I can play major college football at a young age. And Blake Chapin's coming back. And so you kind of always felt like one of the two of them was going to leave. And so if you start thinking about your future, you know, maybe you say, hey, we'll invest in Michael Van Buren, and if Blake wants to stay, he stays. But all of these kids out here have agents these days, every one of them. And I'll tell you a story, too. I won't tell you the player's name because it all worked out. But, you know, we had one player in particular that and he's not even a starter. You know, he's a solid guy that we expect some things from, going to have a bigger role with us next year, provided he works hard. And we have the exit interview with him, and everything's cool. Yeah, coach, I'm coming back. You know, hey, well, this is what we need to do in the offseason. You need to work on this, work on that. And we think you're going to get more playing time next year. And everybody leaves, say things are cool. 2 days later, we get a call from an agent. Hey, if you guys don't double his NIL money, then we're going in the portal. I mean, just when you think, okay, I can count on this guy, well, now it's going to cost me even more. Now, part of that is just the nature of the new revenue sharing thing, right? That's not it's not an option for us. This is going to be the law of the land that we're going to have to spend about $25 million on student athletes. We can't spend 20. We can spend 28. We can spend 30, but we have to spend the minimum allocation in the house settlement. Like I've seen people say, we just need to stop giving the NIL. No, you don't. All you're going to do is put Mississippi State in a more negative disadvantaged situation. But paying players is going to continue. We're never going backwards. We need to understand that. That's never going to happen. This is the new normal in college football until we get a collective bargaining agreement. And along those lines, too, what you're going to have basically is similar to the NFL model. You know, you're going to have a salary cap, and you're going to have penalties. And, you know, the thing that I begin to think about is, you know, do you start fining players, too? You know, I mean, hey, if this is what we're going to do, if we're going to a professional model, then all the rules must apply. You know, simple as that. And I won't rule out the fact that you may have a draft at some point. You may have some guys out there that says, hey, I don't really have a childhood favorite. I'm willing to go anywhere. I'll just enter the draft. And you think it sounds far-fetched. It's not. Pardon me, I'm getting a little cottonmouth there. But yeah, the reality of it is that college athletics as we know it is over. It is. And a lot of people are having a tough time adjusting. I'll be honest with you. When Kevin Coleman announced, even though I knew that it was a possibility, you know, because a few weeks ago I said, I'm hearing we're close to a deal. And then once the portal opened, I had somebody said, no, he's going to see what his value is before he agrees to anything. He still opened the state of Mississippi State, but wants to get his fair market value. Now, you can say what you want to. If we were in the same situation, that's probably what we'd do as well. But the reality of it is, it was a gut punch to me. I mean, it really was. That's one of those guys that thought we can ill afford to lose this guy. And if I had written down my list of five players Mississippi State needs to retain, he's one of them. So now you got to go out and replace him. That's the reality of where we are. And, you know, as I shared with you guys, in anticipation of the portal opening, the bad news comes first. So you got 25 scholarship guys in the portal. Now you've got three that have signed. to help replace them. And again, the majority of the guys that are in the portal were not contributors. And when you read this article later today, you're going to read that, close to half of these guys didn't play a snap this year or played very little. What you do lose is the opportunity to develop them. You lose the continuity of the fact they know your system, your terminology, and your culture, and so they're no longer with you. So now you've got to start over with a brand new player. My hope is you bring in a guy that's more capable of producing, right? I mean, that's the reality of it. We all love Mississippi State, and as I've shared with you guys before, we are a family. We are a family. And I shared with somebody some time ago that, I was here before all these people got here. I'll be here after they've gone. I'll be the guy that's writing the book that kind of details their era here at Mississippi State. I'm a Mississippi State guy for life. I want Mississippi State to do well. And I know that you share in the same sentiment. And I mention this from time to time. There are some people that are chronically negative. It doesn't matter what's happening with Mississippi State sports. I can't begin to imagine being married to somebody like that. But there are some people that will find fault in everything. That's not germane to Mississippi State. It's not something that is exclusive to us. There are just people in life that are like that. And so, you get some commitments. I joked with a guy yesterday. I said, we could get the entire roster from Texas and you would complain they've already peaked. That's just the reality of that. But all of that angst, in many respects, comes from the same place that our loyalty and support comes from. We all want Mississippi State to win. It's important to understand that when we deal with each other. Now, there are some people out there that just want some attention, right? There are some people out there. I mean, it's just like, and I've discussed this before, too. I think it was Andy Biersack from Black Veil Brides said this. I thought it was very, very profound. There are a lot of people that take the angsty approach to things because they want attention. Right? Everybody else could love something. Well, then all of a sudden, I'm going to be a hater. Well, I think this band sucks. Or I think this team sucks. Well, then all of a sudden somebody comes along and likes their tweet. Well, now they've got a friend. It's as simple as that. And there are a lot of people out there in the message board and social media culture that's really what it's about. They just don't want to feel alone. So they go out and they want these provocative takes and things get crazy. Now, the root of that, too, there are some people that really believe those things. And that's okay, too. It's okay to have a contrarian opinion and also a contradictory opinion. That's completely okay. And it's so interesting. The thing that I found, though, and because I've been doing this since 1997, man, it's hard to say. Is typically that people that have skin in the game complain the least because there is a feeling of solidarity. A lot of people that don't have any skin in the game, and I've checked, I got pretty good sources, There's some people out there I know that, they have something critical to say no matter what we do, who we hire, who we retain, who we recruit, who we run off. They always have the negative blame Mississippi State first approach. You're not going to change them. You just need to accept that, and that's okay. We need every fan we can get. We do. And people are like, I just hate Steve that people are so negative. Guys, what is there to be positive about right now? I mean, honest to goodness, right? It's just fuel for negativity when you don't win. You're 2-10 and you've lost some of your biggest playmakers and you thought you had a nice little nucleus of players to push ahead the next year. And so now you've lost that. There's going to be an emotional reaction. And that's fair because they love Mississippi State too. They're not Ole Miss people. Right? They don't hate Mississippi State. They want Mississippi State to win. So I just ask you to have a little patience. Don't let the negative sentiment derail you and your experience. Because here's what happens. If those that love and support Mississippi State through all kinds of weather, if you don't speak up, then those are the only voices that get heard. It's just like yesterday. And I get it. One of the longest threads on the board is about Kevin Coleman leaving. Yes, 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 yes. And we had the Jerron Manning commitment thread, you know, had several replies, but it paled in comparison. Well, of course, we don't know Jerron Manning. We know Kevin Coleman. He's worn the maroon and white for a year, and he was the guy that we were banking on for next year. So, yes, that is going to elicit the more emotional reaction. It's not that we're disrespecting Jerron Manning. We're just not quite ready to move on. We got to find a way to deal with this. We've got to digest this news that our most explosive playmaker is leaving. So, yes, people are going to react to that. That's the reality of life, and it's to be expected. Yes, I would love the fact that we get new commitments, that becomes the big news. But you got to think, you know, when we're doing high school guys, you know, you get a year to 2 years to kind of know those guys, right? I mean, like, you've heard about Kamario Taylor for 2 years. So you feel like you know Kamario even if you've never met him. So when Kamario Taylor commits, you're like, oh, holy smokes. We got Kamario, guys. Yeah, because he's a household name already. And so, you know, Jerron Manning is probably going to make a bigger impact on this Mississippi State season next year than Kamario is. But we just don't know him yet. I mean, you guys heard his name for the very first time ever, more than likely, unless you followed Colin, this weekend when I put up the bones that he was a name to watch in the portal. Once the portal opened, Jerron Manning's a name that you need to know. And now he's a Bulldog, right? So it's going to take some time to kind of get to know. So please don't be too judgmental of each other, right? And there's some people out there, again, that are chronically negative. You know, I love that. Like, well, they're all sunshine pumpers, and they're all sheep and things like that. You know, let me tell you something. Those people that you're being so incredibly critical of have paved the way through some very difficult times at Mississippi State. And perhaps they have a different level of understanding than you do, that we have been through this before and come out the other end of it and been okay. It hurts right now for all of us, but turning against each other is not the answer. Final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. I'm looking forward to staying there just a couple weeks, man. I'm more excited about that trip than I am Christmas, because I'm going to have all of my children and my grandchildren together under one roof with me and my lovely wife. Cannot wait. You need to have those opportunities to make memories with those you love. So you need to be the organizer of that trip. You need to reach out and say, hey, listen, I checked in, Stark Vegas Clubhouse got availability this weekend. What about this? You know, hey, let's get together for this football weekend, baseball weekend, basketball weekend. Maybe it's a midweek trip because you got some vacation time you need to spend. Maybe it's a college roommates reunion. Don't wait for somebody else to make plans, because you and I both know they're not going to. You need to be in charge of this. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Their Facebook page pops up. You can peruse the pictures and all the amenities available to you and your guest. And also some booking options pop up too, right? You got Airbnb, VRBO, Evolve. You can go whichever route you want, but if you want to save some money, book through Evolve and use promo code BSR10. BSR10 gets you 10% off your stay. You get the full service kitchen. You get the huge back porch area. You get the wet bar, the fire pit area. 5 soon to be 6 bedrooms, 2 baths. 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. Don't you want to come enjoy Starkville? You know you do. You know, how great would it be to have all your friends or all your family together? You can break bread together, you can make meals together, and then sit around and watch football, baseball, basketball, whatever. Or maybe just turn the TV off and get out some board games, or maybe open a bottle of wine and just sit around and get caught up. We don't do it enough. We all say it. It's time for you to take action and book a stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse for you, your friends, and family. Okay, there are other things going on in the world. We picked up another baseball signee for the 2025 class a couple days ago. He announced the news yesterday. We've got an exclusive interview over at jeanspage.com. Nick Frontino out of Newman High School there in Naples, Florida. A guy originally from Cleveland, Ohio. Big 6'3", 210-pound corner infielder. And to get him late is very significant. Very, very significant. This is a guy that I actually expect to make the team. And again, you know, you put all this stuff out there and you begin to realize, you know, what a good group you got. We're recruiting at a different level right now in baseball. And, you know, we always talk about the Justin Parker effect. You know, this is a guy here that, this is a guy here on the Jake Gautreaux side of things. You know, and not a guy that's going to be highly ranked, but I think when you go look at the video and the numbers, you're going to be really excited about him. So let's talk about what's next. You know, again, there are other things happening besides the portal. And again, the bad news is going to start subsiding now, okay? All right, Mississippi State men's basketball and then the women are going to play this Saturday in Tupelo. It's a doubleheader. We encourage you to be there. Good chance I'm going to be there. If you can't be there, you're going to watch it on ESPNU. We'll start with the men's side. They're going to take on McNeese State. Should be a game that we win. Your Bulldogs now 8-1. The McNeese State Cowboys from Lake Charles, Louisiana. They have had some good teams. You know, Joe Dumars played there. Maybe you've forgotten that, you know. Sold Joe Dumars a whole house full of furniture one time for his mom. He lived in Natchitoches, Louisiana. And his niece worked for me. How cool is that? Came in and signed autographs for everybody in the store. Super, super guy. The only one of the bad boys that really wasn't so bad, right? But looking at the Cowboys these days, 5-4 record for them, 3-1 at home, and then 0-1 away, and 2-2 on a neutral floor. This game at Tupelo will be considered a neutral floor game, so it'll be their fifth game on a neutral floor. But kind of quickly looking at the stuff here with them, opened up with a loss to South Dakota State in the Field of 68 opener out in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. They blasted the College of Biblical Studies 111-57. Thou shalt not blast the College of Biblical Studies. They gave Alabama some trouble on back on November 9th in Tuscaloosa. The Tide wins that game 72-64. You probably weren't expecting that, but Alabama got the big lead early, had a 41-30 lead at the break, and McNeese kind of stormed back there late and actually outscored Alabama in the second half and ultimately fell by 8. I mean, you never felt like Alabama was in trouble, but they weren't in any way intimidated. They're not going to be scared of us either. They beat North Texas 68-61. They get Illinois State 76-68. They get Longwood 84-69. Lose to Liberty down in the Virgin Islands in the second game of that event, 62-58. And then lose to Santa Clara. The Fighting Steve Nashes win 74-67. And they get Letourneau, not Mary Kay, just Letourneau, the school, 103-69. Some of you will get that reference. Others will have to Google. But this is a team. Again, even in the losses, they've been competitive. And so, they're going to come out and play. And so we look forward to you guys being out there and being a part of all this. I think it's a great thing, good decision by our athletic department to have this game in Tupelo and to pair it up as a doubleheader. You guys remember when we used to go play in New Orleans? How much fun that was? You know, played Oklahoma down there, you know, and it would be a doubleheader and you could buy tickets and enjoy two great college basketball games. Remember Mario's big first comeback and we beat Oklahoma that was so highly considered. This won't be the same atmosphere, but kind of the same thing. You can go spend an afternoon with Mississippi State. And how cool is that, too? And again, it's a Saturday game, so you have an opportunity, you know, to kind of get back and do some good things at home. But the ladies, on their part of the deal, they're going to play Belmont in the early game. Belmont, that's a 2 p.m. tip. And then, you know, we'll have a chance to kind of, you know, get out of there and stretch our legs a little bit and then come right back. But, a good experience. And this Belmont team also 5-4. And they've also played some decent non-conference competition. They lose the opener at Kansas State 82-56. They win on the road against the Shockers of Wichita State 75-55. They get Kennesaw State 75-47, and then they lose against Ohio State in Nashville. Then that's at the Curb Event Center. And, again, that's two top 15 opponents. And listen, That's a four-game win, a four-point win for Ohio State. Now, Duke gets them pretty good. They had to go to Cameron, and they get beat 79-47. And then they get Michigan, and they lose 68-58. This is a very battle-tested team. They've won three in a row, excuse me. They knock off Davidson, Lipscomb, and then Middle Tennessee. And so, you know, very, very challenging non-conference schedule. And again, three top 15 opponents, and then you throw in Michigan on top of it. So if you think they're going to come in there and be scared to play us, you're kidding yourself. Of course, Cadence Bank Arena. And again, really glad that we do some things like this, you know, during the break and give people an opportunity to get out and go see the Bulldogs play. I like taking the show on the road, you know, when we can. I still, even though we won the game, the game against Utah in South Haven, I would have rather played that at Humphrey Coliseum. That's just my feeling. So we ask and encourage you, you know, to come be a part of all this as you get ready for your weekend. Make your plans to be in Tupelo. And we look forward to hosting you at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. We're doing buy one, get one free floats. You've been thinking, I'd like to try it, but I could try it with a friend. And even if you know a friend or a couple or whatever that needs an interesting date night, or maybe just somebody just needs a break, we'll sell you, you know, buy one, get one free. Dial 662-268-7601. You can handle it right over the phone, or you can stop by and see my beautiful wife's smiling face. True Rest Float Spa Starkville, right behind Starbucks on 12 as you get to campus. And some other great gift ideas. Obviously, jeanspage.com is 50% off the annual subscription. If you got Bulldog fans in your family, what a great gift that could be, right? If not for you, for somebody else. You know, hey, it's a gift that gives all year. JeansPage.com, the Mississippi State affiliate for 247 Sports. And as I mentioned, I'll be at College Corner this afternoon from 2 to 4. And then on Sunday, I'll be at Book Martin Cafe, 11 to 3, downtown Starkville. Busy stretch, for sure, as we get ready for holiday sweeps. But if you can't make it to town and you still want to get a signed copy of a book, you can order through dutynoblebook.com. And the Dude's not the only book that's available there, and I'm happy to say it's been nominated for some pretty prestigious awards. Maybe we'll win something, you never know. But all of my sports titles and my recovery book are there. That's Flim Flam, Alpha Dog, Stark Villains, When the Bottom Falls, Dog Pile. Every Bulldog needs a copy of Dog Pile, every one of you. And then The Dude, probably the book I'm most proud of. When the Bottom Falls, the book I had to write. Dog Pile, the book I was born to write. The Dude, probably the book I'm most proud of. True story. And so you're going to be thinking about Bulldog fans in your family. And even if you're not a big reader, I got a lot of people that read that aren't, you know, they don't read all the time. But the reality of that is that you need this on your coffee table or in your fan cave. You need those books. You need to go back and read them anyway and learn a lot about Mississippi State sports. But I'm going to be out a little bit this afternoon. But the staff, you know, I have been able to get contact information for all of your visitors. And so hopefully we'll have visit stories throughout the day. And you never know with these portal guys. Not a lot of these guys have already been through this process, so that, you know, they don't really want to talk to the media. It's just kind of part of the deal. But we do our best. And so they will be watching that and monitoring that as guys begin to leave this afternoon. And we'll have hopefully have reaction from the visits. And then, of course, just a couple tomorrow. So we look forward to that. And come be a part of it over at jeanspage.com, the longest running Mississippi State website in the world. And have had a great year. And I want to thank you guys for that. It's been a great year for the Boneyard. There's always a lot of things that happen in life, but one of the things that we want to do in times good and bad for Mississippi State is we want to be the ones bringing you the news and then giving you context kind of about what's going on, what should happen next. You know, we take that responsibility very, very seriously. It's not just a job for us, right? And for us, it's Mississippi State all the time. All the time. We're not going to miss a Mississippi State sporting event to go cover something else. We are Mississippi State all the time. And got a staff full of Bulldogs, people that love Mississippi State. And I don't think that skews our coverage, but I think at times when there is bad news, it's better coming from us than maybe the traditional media. Nothing against them, you know. But the reality of it is that there are going to be things that happen in life that we don't expect, that we don't want. That's just how things are going to work, especially in sports and the NIL and transfer portal era. And everybody's like, I wish they'd just stop all this. They're not going to. But if you're with us, we can help you navigate through it. And a lot of times people see, well, they see a handful of guys go in the portal, they don't even know their names. They're like, are we even going to have a team next year? Of course we're going to have a team next year, because the same opportunity that other guys lose or forfeit, there are a bunch of guys out there that want that same opportunity. There are people that want to play at Mississippi State. There are people that want to be on your team. They want you to be their fans. This time last year, you didn't even really know Kelly Akari or Kevin Coleman. You didn't. And now all of a sudden you look at it and say, man, how are we going to replace those guys? Well, I think bumping those guys are going to do the same thing they did last year. You're going to go out there and you're going to find guys that can play in our system that fit our culture. And so, you know, the days of the four-year player, yeah, pretty much gone, right? And so you got to be geared up for this every year. It's not just happening to us. You're only acutely aware of what happens in the big maroon bubble, but it's happening all around the country. Now, can you imagine those folks at Marshall? Charles Huff leaves, heads Southern Miss, and the entire team gets in the portal. What are you going to do? You got to go hire a coach? Oh, what do I have coming back? Coach, nothing. Nothing. Oh, I know I'm going to lose these next couple years. Hey, what kind of war chest do you think the Thundering Herd has to go out and get players? I would suggest very little. And so my point in all this is we're only acutely aware of what happens to us, and we don't realize that there are people out there in a worse situation than us or comparable to us, and we think that somehow we're all alone. We're not. But have faith in your coaching staff. Have faith in your administration. To kind of push this thing forward. My conversations last night and this morning were much more reassuring than I felt yesterday. Because, again, when the Kevin Coleman news broke, I'm like, holy smokes, what are we going to do? You know, but we move forward. Simple as that. We'll be back tomorrow, the big, great Big Friday show, and we'll talk a little bit about the latest developments in Mississippi State sports, obviously. And I've got some other things kind of lined up tomorrow, too, to kind of provide some context kind of about what's happening. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.